Burke, Omaha, Nebraska. She was born 1911, December 23rd, in Rio, Illinois, close to Bishop Hill, or north of Gainesbury.
It would be about 20 miles from Bishop Hill, 22.
Between Gainesbury and Knoxville, or?
It would be between Galesburg. I was born just a few miles outside of Galesburg. Because Galesburg had my birth certificate. When I wrote back for Social Security, the courthouse in Galesburg had my birth records.
That is today, July 26th, 1985. So, your parents, they came from Sweden?
Right, both of them.
Your father from Skåne and your mother from Småland,
mm-hmm.
Mohida.
Mm-hmm.
And your father was 3 years old when he came, and your mother was a little bit?
17.
17. So they didn't have any
no communication
to each other before they came to this country.
Mm-mm.
What was the reason they came to this area now?
Well, my grandfather on my dad's side lived in Skåne. I told you that, and his parents were very, very well to do. They were part of the royalty of Sweden, and I didn't learn this until the last years that my dad lived. And my grandfather was never taught to do as much as lacy shone shoes. He had maid service and help in the home. He didn't do one thing. And when he married my grandmother, which was the maid in the home, he was really excommunicated from the family. They just told him to. That was it. It was such an insult to their prestige. But he stayed with her, he married her, and his father gave him a farm in Skåne and told him that sure, you live there by yourself. He was cut off. And he was so lazy, he lost the farm. He didn't know how to work. It was like giving a child something, didn't know what to do with it. And he lost the farm, so he ended up with a smaller one. And the same thing happened there, and he ended up with still a smaller one until he had nothing. And for somehow he came to Woodhull, Illinois, and all the family, the children were all born there, my dad's brothers and sisters. And fortunately, my dad had four brothers and two sisters. And fortunately, my dad's brothers were just all working people. They made their own way the hard way, like she told her dad. My dad was a farmer near Woodhull. He was the hardest working man in the community, and saving, and well, he was not like his father at all. And I remember as a child, my grandparents lived in town, and my grandmother still was scrubbing floors to keep my grandfather.
So she was the working one.
She was the working one, and he. When we came into town from the farm to visit my grandparents, I can still see my grandfather lying on a couch, and she was out in the kitchen scrubbing floors. We're at the neighbor's house doing some work, housework, to bring in a few pennies so they could buy groceries. And he had a white shirt with a starched collar and a bow tie. I never saw him without it. Never do I remember my grandfather and black pants. And when it was cooler, he had the black coat. He was black and white all the time. And so my dad was really disgusted the way he was laying around. So during haying one summer, he asked him, "You come out the farm and I'll put you to work. He was hiring men to help him because my two brothers were too small to really do that heavy work. And he came out there dressed in his white shirt and his black bow tie. So my dad made him put some of his clothes on and help with the haying. And when they brought the hay in from the field, he was supposed to be in the barn and shift it around, pack it, you know, in the hay mow. And of course, they had to wait for the hay to come in from the field. They had two hay racks going. About the second rack, they couldn't find him. They looked all over, and they thought he'd walked back to town. But at noon, he came out of the hay mow. He'd been sleeping. So my dad took him back into town. That was the end of help from his father. He just wouldn't work. And he lived to be 90 years old. 90 or 91.
And he was how old when he came to the United States?
Well,
in his 30s?
Well, you figured out. My dad was three And he died at 57 in 1930. That would take 1753. He died in, what year would he come about? 1878 or something, wouldn't
yes.
he?
Yeah, that sounds
about 1878. And my dad was three. And my grandfather died all the way back in about 1919 or 20. Mm-hmm. He died right around 1920. And he was 91.
What was his name?
Well, this is what's so confusing for us. When they lived in Sweden, their name was Persson. His name was Per Olof Persson. And when he came here, he changed it to Per Olsson. P-E-H-R. So our name in Sweden should have been Persson. Now, that's going to be confusing to find the background, isn't it?
Yes, but he belonged to the Woodhull Church, Bethany.
Yes. They were all, mm-hmm.
Was he a churchgoer? He had plenty of time.
No, he wasn't. He didn't do anything. He was not a churchgoer. My grandmother was. And fortunately, his brothers all, they went into Chicago. There again were two carpenters in the family. They made their own way, just like her dad, in the plaster work. And they were great carpenters, both of them. They built these high buildings in Chicago, 40, 50 stories high, and saved their money. In fact, Gene and I inherited, when the youngest uncle died, we inherited a little bit of money from him. And you know, that was pretty good to save money. Mm-hmm. And well, that was not too many years that he died. And he was buried in the Woodhull Lutheran Cemetery. Awfully nice person. All his brothers were great. They were all good, hard-working people, and not as church-minded as my mother's family. That's a different story. Mm-hmm. But they did go to church. And they were Christian people. And my dad was, I never knew my dad not to go to church. Never knew him.
So he took over the farm then after, when he was old enough, your father?
Well, he didn't have a farm. My grandfather didn't have a farm. He came here broke. And my grandmother had to go out and scrub floors to get the boys so they could have something to eat. And as the boys got older, they just made their own way. None of them were educated, but they were all, except to go into, they were wonderful carpenters, cabinet makers is what they were. Three of my uncles were cabinet makers.
Who and my gave him the idea to go to the United States then? If you...
I think he just didn't know where to go. I don't think he'd get out of Sweden because nobody wanted him, I guess.
Maybe somebody paid his ticket.
Well, he probably had enough money to bring him over here, I don't know. And my dad hardly knew that. He was
Why did he go to Woodhull? Do you have any idea?
No, except there was a lot of Swedes around there. Illinois has a lot of Swedes. And you take outside of Woodhull, there's Swedona and Orion and Andover. Those are very Scandinavian. And there was nothing said about Bishop Hill then. This was later in my life. And the New Windsor. You've been to New Windsor, haven't you? Well, that was the church that we farmed. My dad finally, when we were quite young, rented a large farm, about 400 acres, and he had 100 head of cattle. He did real good back in those days for farming and worked hard.
That was in the 20s.
That was in the 20s. And then, this is kind of a sad story. The man we rented, we didn't own the farm. Gene and I often said we wished we had just, my dad had just ventured out like people do nowadays, because my, that would have best land you could find.
But Gene is your brother.
Yeah, the one who was there last night. But the man that owned the farm just raised the rent. He saw my dad was making money, and he just raised the rent until we just had to move. And after we moved, the funny part of it was the man that rented after us didn't work like my dad, and that owner just lost. He just mm-hmm. went the other way. Because my dad at that time would switch the corn, next year he'd have clover, he just switched all those 40 acres around, had, you know, just, and fed his own cattle.
What did he learn farming? Did he go to school?
Or? No, he just did it by working. And when he lived by Woodhull, he worked for a man that owned two, three farms. And when we had to leave this farm that was really my mother said was the best place she ever lived. One of the men that Dad had worked for in his younger days had a farm by Bishop Hill. And that's where we made our, I was about 9 years old when we moved up there, and that's where I lived until we came to Omaha. That's home, Bishop Hill.
You mentioned renting a farm. What kind of arrangement was it? Was it half and half?
No, it was more paid by the acre then. I think my dad kept all
cash
the grain.
Cash payment?
Yeah, I think my dad kept everything he worked for, and he paid rent.
So the owner, rent was, he saw that he made a good profit on it.
Yes, he did, and he just pushed us right off. And the strange part of it was, nothing went well for that owner after that. Illness hit him, and the man that took over the farm he just wouldn't work that hard.
And 400 acres, that was a good chunk of land.
You better believe it was, but there was some pasture there for all this cattle. And, you know, we never took vacations. My dad never took a vacation. He just worked. His vacation was to go to church for a lawn social. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then we moved up to Bishop Hill. I was 9 years old when we moved up there, 9 or 10, and then my youngest brother died. And that was a jolt on my parents. They buried him in New Windsor because we just left there. We'd moved up to Bishop Hill in March, and he died in June.
Your father?
No, my little brother.
What was your little brother?
8 years old. And that was a terrible blow to my dad. Anyway, my dad died in 1930 at Christmas time. That was a blow to us.
So he rented another farm then?
Yeah, up there, this man he worked for when he was younger had a farm up by Bishop Hill, and he told my dad. My dad kept in touch with this man. He was an Irishman, a Catholic, but he thought a lot of my dad. And my dad tells that the first year he worked for him, he got $1. He worked one whole year there, and he got $1 and a pair of rubber boots as his pay, plus board and room.
That was
his breaking in years.
How big of a farm was that?
Well, that was working for this Mr. Fredrickson, and then Mr. Fredrickson had 4 or 5 farms in that area, and he had this one up by Bishop Hill. We really thought it was near Galva. He said he had a farm by Galva. But Bishop Hill and Galver were about 5 miles apart, but we were closer to Bishop Hill. That was our mailing address. And of course, we fell right into school and high school and church.
In Bishop Hill?
And we went to Altona. Bishop Hill didn't have a Lutheran church. And so 5 miles to Altona, and Bishop Hill didn't have a high school. And we fell right into it. I'll tell you, we had a wonderful childhood.
Did you go to school in Bishop Hill?
No, we went to a little country school outside of Bishop Hill, about 1.5 miles from home. Bishop Hill was 2.5 miles. And what was on the other side of Bishop Hill was just like Sweden to us. I mean, we never got there. It's too far from home. Can you believe that?
2.5 miles.
2.5 miles on the other side of Bishop Hill was strange country. It was too far from home.
So you didn't visit Bishop Hill too often then?
Oh yeah, we were in there for our groceries and the hardware store. Oh yeah, the hardware store. The twins' uncle run the hardware store, P.L. Johnson.
Yes.
Mr. P.L. Johnson.
Then they have a restaurant today.
Yeah.
P.L. Johnson's hardware store.
Mm-hmm. That down that slope.
Yeah.
And that was the best hardware store in the whole country. And it was until Gunnar Bohr took it over, and he made it even better. So, my dad we bought all our groceries, and he bought all his hardware. You could get anything in that P.L. Johnson.
So when you were growing up, you met a lot of old Swedes in Bishop Hill. How did it look to you at that time? Did you?
Oh, I'd grown up with it around New Windsor. See, my mother's family, not talking about my mother's family, they were very, very, very religious. And I don't mean we just said table prayers. There was no dancing. No baseball on Sunday. When we had family reunions, my brothers couldn't take out a ball and throw and play catch. And it was so much Swedish. That's where I got my Swedish from, my mother's side.
Well, if you switch over now to your mother here, Amanda Christine Ståhl.
Mm-hmm.
Stool, they call it.
Stool. They said they called it Stool.
She came from Mohida.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with my uncles and aunts, they lived and breathed their faith. I tell you, they did.
And they also came to Woodhull.
They settled to New Windsor, see? And New Windsor is not far from Woodhull, only about 8 miles.
Yes. And so she came to mm-hmm. her uncles or cousins or?
My
your mother?
Well, she had a lot of relatives, but I don't know why they came to New Windsor. Now, I didn't ask.
The whole family came from
New Windsor? Yeah, they all came from New Windsor.
Okay.
And they had they bought a farm south of New Windsor. And my uncle lived there until he retired, one of my mother's brothers, and that'd be this Whelan's father. I want you to look Whelan up when you get back to Moline. Mm-hmm. I got his address and telephone number.
Mm-hmm. So she was religious? Oh. The whole family was?
They were so religious, we couldn't move on Sunday. We couldn't even laugh. It was almost too much. And one uncle, Whelan's father, was the kind that he lived so close to the Bible that he predicted that the world was going to come to an end. And the way things were going, it all had to end. Well, the world is still standing, and he's been gone for years.
But they were still Lutherans, though.
Oh, yeah, they were Lutheran. All pillars of the church. My Aunt Lita was organist. It was a very close-knit family, too. We still are with Whelan, and that's the only cousin I have left, only first cousin. And the reason my dad died in 1930, and my oldest brother was at Augustana College, and my brother that you met last night is the only one I have left, he did not want a farm. We were just out of high school in the spring. And when my dad died at Christmas time, Gene did not want to stay on the farm. We lived on this same man's farm that my dad, I told you, we'd rented, that he'd worked for. And, Gene couldn't handle it. It was a pretty big farm, too, like 300 acres. Maybe a little bit smaller. You'd have to ask him, maybe 260. But anyway, Gene did not want a farm. And my brother was going to Augustana College. He was in his second year. And so my mother sold everything on the farm and moved into Rock Island. And my brother belonged to a fraternity there, and they needed a cook, and my brother cooked for all those college students. And in the meantime, I'd gotten out of high school in the spring, and that fall I went into Chicago to work, and I worked in a home. This is 1930. And my mother stayed one semester with these college students, and we had an uncle in Omaha that lived and prayed every day for us and had us come to Omaha and said the boys could get work here at the packing house. That was why we were here. Then I left Chicago and came here too.
And worked at the Omaha.
Yeah, and I worked at the Emanuel Hospital in the laundry my first 5 years in Omaha.
It was done on 36th and Meredith.
Mm-hmm. That was the cleanest job I ever had. Uh-huh. I loved that. You know, we just took anything, got a dollar a day working in the laundry. And I paid the rent for in the meantime, I lost my oldest brother in 34. And I paid the rent, and Gene bought the groceries. He made $8 a week, and I made $30 a month. And then we kept our mother that way.
So she moved with you then?
Oh, yeah, she came here with us when my uncle talked my brothers into coming.
The whole family left Bishop Hill.
That was hard for her to leave.
Well, it was just terrible to see the stock go. She loved the horses. And to see the people come and take the things off the farm, it's not easy.
But she understood that it was impossible.
Well, it was nothing really else to do.
You couldn't hire anybody.
No, and Gene didn't have he didn't have his heart in it. And he's never regretted that he left the farm. We love to go back there. I sat in that house 2 years ago and visited with the people living there. I never had, Alfield was with me. I'm going back again too, real soon, within a few months.
So you still have the roots?
Oh, I love it back there.
But Bishop Hill at that time didn't appeal to you as a...
Not as a kid. You know, we were going to school, and everybody that went to our high school, they either went to college at Knox College in Galesburg, Augustana College, or nurses training in Moline, or they went to Chicago to work. And that was, everybody just branched out.
Did you get this notion to go to Chicago and not to work?
Well, that's a cute story. I had a girlfriend who graduated from high school 1 year ahead of me, and she had taken stenographic work in high school, and I was going to be a nurse, so I never fooled around with typing and shorthand or any of that in high school. And I was graduating in 1930, and I was going in Augustana Hospital for student nurses training. Well, that was all because of my father's death. That never happened. Well, anyway, this friend of mine wrote to me. We corresponded regular. And she said, when you get out of high school, you come to Chicago, and we'll get some work. And I did. Well, the only thing I could do, not having any stenographic work in 1930 with no experience, 17 years old, all I could do was housework. So I found a job right away. I had an aunt and uncle there on my mother's side, and they helped me. But I got into a Catholic home taking care of three small children. It was on Rosemont Avenue. I'll never forget it. And as soon as I got settled in there, they were really nice to me, this Catholic family. And they were really very nice. And I came there in the fall. My dad died at Christmas. And it was pretty nice of them to pay my fare back to my dad's funeral and give me, I think I was making $14 a week, which is pretty good money, or $15, $5 for each child. And they paid my fare to go home for his funeral and gave me a Christmas gift of $15 at like the week I was going to be gone. And then, I went back there after my dad's funeral. But when I first went to Chicago, I called this friend as soon as I got my job. And she lived with her aunt and uncle and was doing office work. She said, I'll ask my uncle where you are and I'm going to come and see you, because I couldn't get out. I had to take care of the children. We were one block apart in the city of Chicago. Can you imagine?
It's a big town, but still small enough.
Yeah, her uncle lived one block from me. Can you imagine? I got a job. Then, of course, she came over about 4 or 5 times a week.
So how long did you stay then?
1 year. I stayed in Chicago 1 year, from September till September.
And your mother was still running the farm? Or?
No, she had gone into Moline, or to Rock Island, and run this fraternity.
Yes.
She cooked for these boys one semester only. Mm-hmm. And then the summers, when my dad, or when my uncle here, talked her into coming up here. And then the boys came. And then I quit as soon as my mother was here. I couldn't stand it in Chicago. I thought they moved to the other end of the world, and moved to Omaha.
Far away.
Yeah.
And your brothers, now, did they start in packing house?
Well, my brother Gene, that you was there last night, did, and he had to quit because he got the worst, lowest job that there was in the packing house. My uncle got him a job, but he got in the killing department. And he said he walked in blood. He had to wear boots, and he just walked in blood, and he couldn't stand it. Because we were on the farm, and we loved our animals, you know. And there they were killing those cattle, and he could not stand it. He quit. And I don't think my uncle actually ever forgave him. And we had a little, we lived in an apartment, and the owner of the apartment liked Gene so well, he said, I want you to go and talk to Mr. Jensen and see if he can't give you something to do. And he was in business, this Mr. Jensen. Gene went down there and talked to him and got a job, and it was the only job he ever had. 48 years he stayed.
Were there Swedish foremen at the packing house working on that? I mean, the foremen?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. He couldn't stand it.
More like Polish, I think.
Well, he just couldn't stand it.
So there were not too many Swedish?
No. No,
but
you know, my uncle had the idea, you've got a job, I've got you a job, you're making $8-$9 a week, now be, but he, you know,
so
but
he Gene, felt he was cheating him on the...
Yeah, but Gene couldn't take it, and I can see where he couldn't. Who could? Gene was only 18, 19 years old, and come from the farm where if anybody hurt one of the animals on the farm, my dad would fire the hired man. We had 14 horses, didn't have a tractor. If anybody hit one of those horses, one fell at one man right in plowing time, took a pitchfork and to make the horse, and Dad says, you can leave, go and get your check. He would tolerate no abuse on the animals. And see, Gene was brought up like that.
So you started at the manual then?
Mm-hmm. And then I worked there 5 years and took a business course and got jobs. And I wasn't married until I was 37.
Mm-hmm. You were business course, you worked in the office then? Or
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I married, she knew him.
This sounds like a Swedish name, Kohlberg.
It is. His parents were both born in Sweden. His mother's name was Amanda Christine. We had a lot in common. But I want to tell you, my uncle in Sweden was in the army. I heard you mention that to her.
That's why my dad left.
Mm-hmm. He was in the army.
He didn't want to be in the army.
No, he was.
But my dad was too, but mm-hmm. He got out of it somewhere.
No, my grandfather and my uncle, I think the one here in Omaha, started out in the army in Sweden. Mm-hmm. And now Waylon, this cousin in Moline, He was an only child, and my mother's brother and her youngest sister and her youngest brother never married. And he lived right almost just a fourth of a mile from where Waylon and his dad and mother lived. So, and my grandmother lived with his single aunt and uncle, see? So Waylon was thrown right in Little Sweden. And he grew up with them just, he didn't know English till he was 10 years old almost. So he really got more into the ground part of the family than we did. We were up by Bishop Hill, we communicated and had Christmas and dinners, but he lived right in with all those, and my grandmother never said an English word. She died in 1929, so he had quite a few years with her. He's retired from John Deere now. You'll like him. I want you to, I got his address and telephone number in here.
Yes, I'll write it on.
And I'll give you the paper and then you can.
So what kind of work has he been doing, your husband?
Well, he was with the bakery business.
The bakery.
Yeah, now there's another story. Worked for UP in the photographic department. And then in 1933 or 4, the Depression was at its height. And they laid off about 25, 30 people just in that department overnight. And then he had to take what he could get. And he got into the bakery business and he just loved it. He liked it better than anything he ever did because he was out in the open. He was sales, in the sales work. And he was confirmed, baptized and confirmed at Trinity Lutheran Church.
The same church that you...
Yeah, and of course we had joined Trinity before living out north here and being connected so close with the Emmanuel. We had lived out, and I went to Trinity. I've belonged to Trinity since 34. That's 51 years. Not quite as long as you. And my brother, but he left Trinity and joined another Lutheran church with his first marriage, and then after his first wife died, he came back to Trinity. And that's about it.
So, you have never been in Sweden?
No, but my brother and his wife now are thinking of going next year, and if I could go with them, if everything works all right, I'm going with them.
So what are you going to look for then, particularly?
Well, I'm going to, they, now Jean is very interested in where our parents came from. But Ollie is Norwegian, isn't she? Jean's wife. And she's not really interested in the things we are, but this is what I'm going back for. And if I have to separate and do some of my thing in Sweden and stay, they can go on, you know, do what they want to do. But we'll have to meet to come home together, you know what I mean.
And it is specifically your mother's birthplace.
Yeah, that's what I want to go, because my mother would have given, I would have given anything if we could have sent her back to Sweden. Mm-hmm. And my uncle and my mother. What, if those two, they talked about the hills and Moheda and how they used to play. And it just breaks my heart to think they didn't get back. Mm-hmm. Now, my dad didn't have the love for Sweden, my mother did. He was too young.
And your grandfather now on your father's side?
He was in the army, no. I know.
Did he talk anything about Sweden going back?
Or? He didn't come. Yes, he did come here. I think he died about the year I was born. I never knew him. Mm-hmm. But he didn't get back. Of course, they hadn't been here so long either. But my grandmother, I knew her. She didn't die till 29. I knew her. She never said a word of English. She didn't even try. I mean, she just didn't even care to learn the English language.
Do you remember going into Bishop Hill to the stores, the hardware store? Did they still talk Swedish in the 30s and 40s?
Or yes.
Before, in the 20s, I suppose.
Well, no, it was about 23 or 4 that we moved up there. And I think that the Berggrens, the twins' parents, and that Bishop Hill part did. And I can remember, especially in the Windsor, before we moved up there, when we lived on the bigger farm, there was a Swedish sermon every other Sunday, or almost every Sunday. It was all in Swedish. And then we moved to Bishop Hill, and it was just enough of a break. There was only one Swedish sermon a month. See what I mean? And but Bishop Hill was more Swedish, and the people taught more Swedish. I more so than in Altona, which was only about 8 or 9 miles. Isn't it funny how a little area like that can...
Did they still use the church for any services, the big church in Bishop Hill? Do you remember that, or is it closed?
Oh, no. They I think when I lived back there, they had the new Methodist church.
That was the only one they gave.
Yeah, that's the only one. I think the other one was more or less closed up. There was no heat in that. And there was, I don't think there's electricity over there. I think it's all candlelight yet. But they have Eulutha services there.
You know, nowadays they have, but I mean in the 20s, if you remember.
I think there was a period that they did close it up. I think they kept it up, but they closed it up. They've painted and done things now to keep.
Do you remember the other buildings, like the steeple building?
Yeah, I remember when
people living there.
That old commune?
Yes.
That burned down in
28. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I saw the fire. We could see it from our home.
It was down there in the
kind of a little bit low, and yes. It was long. We were in there once because my mother knew a friend from Sweden in there that she had met. This friend was from Sweden. But she didn't know her in Sweden, but they were from the same area, and that's how I got into that.
How did it look like? I mean, it must be a tremendous building with
Well, it was just one, just like
one room after another.
Yeah, like a motel here, but there was steps up to the living part, and it was just old fashioned, like you see in an old fashioned magazine. This fringe on the drapes and the fringe on the lamps and the maroon I can remember all the maroon colors they had in their furniture and carpeting, rug, you know, 9x12 rug, and very old fashioned, the way we think of it now. And it just made people sick when that burned down.
Was it neatly?
It was nice. Oh, yeah, it was nice. That was a shame, that building. That was a commune. That was one of the first buildings that.
You didn't see the dining room?
Well, they kind of had their own, didn't they? They had own living quarters. I don't think they had a main dining room. I think it was just like apartments, condominiums, we call them here now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had their own area, just one right after the other, just a block long. And when that fire started, it was brick, but when it started, it just took the whole thing.
So you remember that?
Oh, yes.
Were you there after the fire? Or?
We saw it from our home because it spread on the line, you know. When the telephone rang, 14 people in one line, and the phone rang during the night, somebody was calling one of their friends. You know the I don't know what they called it. They didn't call it commune, but that's what it was, condominium type. And when the phone rang at 3 o'clock in the morning, everybody in the whole community got up. So my dad looked out, and I think that he and my mother and a couple of us just drove. We didn't go, you know, get into the thick of it, but we saw it. It was a shock. Too bad that burned.
There were some walls standing after the fire, wasn't it? Or did they?
Well, yeah, but it was all damaged. There was no, yeah. It was really, I still don't know what started that. That was right below the park there, you know, kind of.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He sure knows Bishop Hill.
So the people then they had to move out, of course.
Well, there weren't too many living in there.
So it was always empty.
And, yeah, and I suppose people couldn't afford to pay any rent, and it. I don't know, but they said there weren't too many people living now. Alfield is the one that can tell you about that. She's 5 years older than I am.
So you remember Alfield and Alpha from way, way back then?
Oh, yes. They lived half a mile east of our farm. Just a half a mile. Right on the same road.
Well, they didn't live right in the village, like they did.
Oh, no, they had, their father lived on the farm, but he was, I'm not knocking him now, but he was not a farmer. See, he was one of these who collected antiques, and I think they rented out their land, and they didn't have too much. You know, he didn't work.
He worked. Like the other guy from Sweden with the white shirt and the
tie. Yeah, well, not that bad. Not that bad, but he was a.
Contagious of the Swedes, maybe.
He was a collector, and he had a carpenter. He could do carpenter work. He made some chairs and things, you know, just carved.
Was he a widower or?
No, their mother was no, she died many years after he did. And Alfield and Alva were just wonderful to those parents. Nobody could have treated their parents better than those two girls. And they never moved out of that area. And now, you have to admit, I don't mean this against them, but they're self-centered right there. The outside world is
doesn't exist.
It just, I don't know, just they haven't broadened out. Like a can of beer. I don't think anything of people having a can of beer, and I wouldn't dare have a glass of wine in front of those girls.
So they are very restricted against
you. I wouldn't dare have a glass of wine. And when Alfie was here, we were with my brothers for dinner, I said, Jean, whatever you do, don't bring out any wine. Because it would change her opinion completely of us. And we're not drinking people at all. But they're, and when that little bell coming in after Alpha and they got rid of it, it was too much work. They sold beer in there, they never walked in there again. So you see, it's a little extreme that
way. Your parents, were they the same way then? Or?
Well, I imagine they were. I imagine. Of course, nobody drank back there when we were back there. There wasn't, nobody had any money for drinking, for one thing. Anybody that drank was an outcast, you know what I mean? They went too far.
They look at you with a suspicious eye, the Bishop Hill people, or when some outsider came in there. And
oh, yes, if there was any drinking or anything, if that man had a ever, and they knowing he'd had anything to drink, why? Well, there was something wrong with him. But there were a few drunkards around. There was one that lived right across the catacorn field from us. He was one of the meanest men in the country when he drank. And that's they went to extreme. My grandparents were the same way. Oh, I mean, my mother's, my aunts and uncles. Terribly narrow.
Was there a bar in Bishop Hill at that time in the 20s?
A bar?
Yeah, there was a bar across from Welcome Inn, you know, in later years. Well, it's still there, I suppose.
I don't think there was any. No, I think that when that beer came in after that was the first, and that was a downfall of the street as far as those twins were concerned. But I didn't argue with them. I just accepted because they are wonderful Christian girls, and they've been brought up that way. That's the way they believe. And I think Gunnar went out and had a beer once in a while, you know, but not to the extreme.
You don't remember him, though.
Gunnar Borg?
No, I mean back in the 20s. He came 27.
Oh, he came much later. Those girls were married after we came to Omaha. Mm-hmm. But we visited them and we learned to know them. Gunnar was a nice man.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know it or not, but just a year ago when we were there to see him, they had just put an article in the paper about running that hardware store. He was so well-liked. Everybody liked him. And a farmer went to Peoria, they told me, and he went to Moline, and he went to all over the whole community. Peoria, you know, was quite a ways from that part of the country to get a part for one of their machines. And somebody said, why don't you try Gunnar Borg and Bishop Hill? And this man went to Bishop Hill and asked Gunnar, and he says, well, I'll see what I can do. And he was gone about 15 minutes. Came back and he says, is this what you want? Cost him about 50 cents.
Good service.
He was a very well liked. And they had an article in the paper, in the Moline paper and in the Galesburg paper. It was 2-3 columns. And the girls showed it to me when we were there a year ago, that the community was complimenting Gunnar Borg because he then had retired from the hardware and was selling it and getting rid of it because of his health. And he was so embarrassed when the girls brought out, but well, it was a beautiful article. I had 2-3 people at Altona ask me if I'd read it. They wanted me to be sure and read it.
So when you return out to Bishop Hill and see all this commotion about old-time living and so forth, how do you feel like?
I'd like to be back in it.
Yes, but is it the same community as you saw it in
mm-hmm.
the 20s?
Pretty much. Pretty much. Earl Nelson. He and his family lived a half a mile west, and the Bergrins lived a half a mile east. And the Bergrins went to the Methodist Church in Bishop Hill, while the Nelson family that lived west of us went to the Lutheran Church and high school in Altona. There were 6 boys in that family, and they were all close together, you know. And no matter what we did in high school or church, one of those boys did the same thing. And we just grew up with it. You met Earl and Lois Nelson, and that's like home to go to their place. Of course, the mother parents are gone now.
So you remember Laura Neff, for instance?
Oh, yes, I went to school with her boys.
You did?
Raymond and Willard.
Uh-huh.
I saw Willard Neff about 2-3 years ago, and I told him what he wrote on a Valentine to me. He said, I don't remember that. We went to the grade school, Maple Hill.
She always had such a shrewd eye at you, you know, when she looked at you, Lauren F.
Yeah, how did you meet her?
Well, I met her in 1970. I had interviewed her.
Is she still living?
No, she's dead.
She died.
She died.
See, Willard, his older brother died, Raymond. But Willard is about 1 year younger than I am.
So they lived in the Bishop Hill or outside Bishop Hill?
Outside of Bishop Hill, just a little bit to west, about a mile and a half.
To the same school then?
Yeah, we went to the same grade school. There's a lot of people that are still back there.
How about that old lady, Miss opposite Laura Neff, where she lived?
Bergren?
No, not Bergren, it was...
If you get the name.
Jacobson, Miss Jacobson.
Now, she must not have had any kids in school.
No, she was probably...
See, that would make a difference.
I'm married.
Mm-hmm. Did you meet Ruth Bergren Erickson?
No. Oh, yes. Yes.
The painter?
Yes.
I have a painting of hers that she...
How about Emil Erickson? Do you meet him?
What was the name?
Emil Erickson. He was up in the 90s when he died. He was one of the older...
Oh, there's so many Ericksons around there. The first name
His daughter, Ruth Melton.
Is what?
Ruth Melton.
Ruth Melton, no.
There was his daughter.
There were so many Ericksons around there, though. There was dozens of them.
I'm sure there was. You better have a number on them.
Oh, there was one family, Ruth Bergren's, married one of those. Ruth Bergren Erickson married one of those there, and there was four of the Ericksons in that one family, four boys. They all stayed around there.
Yeah. So you got a feeling there was a close-knit society there, isn't
it?
In the Windsor, Woodhull, Bishop Hill.
Oh, yes. And it still is. It still is. The cemetery there, the Swedish Lutheran Cemetery, gets bigger every year I go back. That's where my little brother is buried. We, Jean and I go back there.
In New Windsor.
Mm-hmm. That was a very, very wonderful community, too.
Where did he die from?
He lived in Lockjaw. See, we moved from New Windsor, and I told you in March. He died in June. He was playing on some old machinery there on the farm that had been left there, and my dad hadn't had a chance to clean it up. So we just moved there in the middle of March, and there were some things that had to be done away with, and he hadn't got around to it, and he started playing with that, and he only lived 5 days. He never walked after he punctured his little heel. He got hurt on Wednesday, and he died on Sunday morning, or Monday morning.
What was he hurt by?
It was a farm implement. They called it a cylinder that had spikes sticking out all the way around. He put a rope around it, and we're pulling it, and one of them hit his heel. And it went through his shoe. The sore that was pricked wasn't a fourth of an inch long and had no depth. It was a lockjaw, tetanus. And see, this was in 1923 or 4, and there was no hope. It went directly to the bone.
There was no doctor in New Windsor at the time?
There was a Dr. Rathbun there. But we had moved up toward Altona and Bishop Hill, so we had an Altona doctor. My mother called him at 5 o'clock in the morning and told him about our little brother. He says, you get right in your car and come to the Galesburg Hospital. And my mother said, well, we're just drinking coffee. And he says, put your coffee aside and come right now. Don't even drink your coffee. And that was at 5 o'clock on Sunday morning, and he died at 5 in the next morning. There was no hope for him at all. So, you know, our parents, like her parents, you really experience, of course, it's all over the world. It isn't just us. And
no.
It's a lot of sadness.
There was no cure for things like that.
No.
Not everybody gets a shot for it.
You
scratch your finger.
Yes, you do.